When Moses went up to the mountain, there was fire, the mountain shook, there was smoke, lightning, with the presence of God. And the people said to Moses, "Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die." As I said at an earlier time, some people hear the voice of God and they die. They don't want to live anymore. They hear His voice and they feel they're going to die, and they do, as these Israelites did die in the wilderness, because they did not want to hear the voice of God. But the voice of the Lord Jesus, which comes through His Spirit, through His Word, is meant to bring life. In John chapter 6, Jesus told His disciples, and there were many at that time, He said, "You must eat of My flesh and drink of My blood, or you cannot live." They misunderstood. They thought they had to actually devour His body and drink blood as cannibals might. Many, therefore, of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said to them, "Does this offend you? And in order to live, you must drink My blood and you must eat My flesh. Does this offend you?" Well, it did. "What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, that makes alive. The flesh profits nothing." So eating the flesh of Christ would profit you nothing. Drinking the real blood of Christ would profit you nothing, because the blood goes together with the flesh, meaning the body. "It is the Spirit that quickens, makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." They are spirit and they are life. "Oh, but if we hear the word of God anymore, we're going to die." And they did, because they did not heed it. God said to His people, "I spoke to you and you did not respect it. You did not attend to My words." What makes a difference between those that hear the word of God and die, and those who hear the word of God and live? Well, we're going to simplify it. We're going to go to Revelation 3:20. Theologians and others, churches, can complicate things. We're going to simplify it to Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And that's God's grace right there. We don't knock on His door first. He knocks on ours. And again, this is the door of the church, not the brothel, not the crack house, not the brewery, not the discotheque. It was the door of the church. But He also knocks on the door of the unbeliever, of the brewery, of the disco, of the crack house, of the brothel. Okay. Because the church of Laodicea was worse than the brothel. The church was worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. For they were lukewarm. And Christ said, "I'd rather have you cold. I'd rather have you living in a brothel or a crack house. I'd rather have you do that than proclaim My name and not be on fire for Me. And would that you were hot or cold." So they were actually worse. And by grace, He stood at the door of their heart and He knocked. For the church had put Christ outside their doors, outside their heart. "If any man or anyone hear My voice and open the door, I will come in to him and I will sup, I will dine with him and he with Me." Here it is simplified. Right? Those that hear the voice of God and keep the door shut, they die. Those that hear the voice of Christ and open the door, they live. That's the difference. God knocks. We hear His voice whenever we hear the Scriptures read, whenever we read them ourselves, or hear them preached. We are hearing the voice of God. When we hear the Apostle Peter say, "Be holy as God is holy," do we shut the door on that? Then we die. Do we open the door to that voice? "Be holy as I am holy," then we live. Take up your cross and self-denial and follow me. Do we shut the door on that voice? If we do, we die. If we open it, we live. Let's go to Jonah, who was swallowed up by his own transgressions. The whale was just the means by which God delivered Jonah from himself. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Did Jonah open the door to the word of God when he heard it? Or did he shut it? He shut it. He shut the door on the word of God. And now we see what happens to people, especially believers, for Jonah was a believer, who shut the word of God, shut the door of their heart on be holy, or I am holy, who shut the door on the voice that says, take up your cross and self-denial, follow me. Here we see what happens to a believer who shuts the door on the voice that says, love your enemies, go the extra mile, on the voice that says, humble yourself. Here's what happens to believers who shut the door on the voice of God. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh. And God's word always says arise. It always says get up. Be awake. Be sober. Okay. Always telling us to get up. Be active. Not passive. God's grace is not passive. And when it works in us, we are to be anything but passive. We are to be laborers. Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And so again, we see that little word, that conjunction, the word but. On one hand, he's to go to Nineveh, but on the other hand, he tries to flee in the opposite direction. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know, Jonah found a nice, comfortable niche in that ship where he could sleep. He found a nice, comfortable bed, a hammock, where he could rest. And there are those who think they can disobey God, and they try to find a place of rest. They try to find a place of peace. But the Lord, again, there's that conjunction. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. There's not going to be any peace for you, Jonah. Lukewarm, there's not going to be any peace for you. Though you have amassed so many things and think that you're taking your ease, there will be no peace for you, especially when you stand before God. The Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. And there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. No peace for you, Jonah. No peace. No peace for the lukewarm. No peace for those who shut the door. You will not have a peaceful sleep. You will not have a peaceful future if you shut the door on God's word. The Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. As David said in Psalm 148, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. When God commands the whale to open his mouth and swallow, he does. When God commands the ravens to feed Elijah, they do. When God commands it to snow, it snows. When God commands the wind to blow, it blows. But when God commands man, he disobeys. There's a big difference between nature. O fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature. Yes, he rules the elements, but he wants to rule man. He wants to rule woman. These words apply to Jonah and to all who hear the word of God and shut the door, for they have sown the wind. and they shall reap the whirlwind. Jonah, that wind you are reaping because you have shut the door on my voice and you're going in the opposite direction. Soon that great fish will come and he will be the whirlwind. He will be the stranger that swallows you up. It has no stalk. The bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. And that strange fish came. Strange because we don't know what kind of fish or whale it was. And it swallowed up Jonah. There are many today in the churches like Jonah, like Laodicea, that are being swallowed up by their own sin. And we continue to read in Jonah 1:17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. The Lord prepared that whirlwind, that great fish. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. 3 days and 3 nights. Jonah was being swallowed, not by a fish as much as his own disobedience to God. And then after 3 days, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. This always amazed me. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Then Jonah prayed. After 3 days. What a stubborn, hard-hearted, proud man he was. I'm not going to bend to the will of God. I'd rather be digested here. I'd rather die here than die in Nineveh. Jonah had to swallow his pride. And that's why God allowed him to be swallowed by the fish. 3 days. 3 days. King Saul was the king, first king of Israel, who lost his crown. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Notice, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. How can God do this to his prophet Jonah, to his servant Jonah? Because Jonah was practicing witchcraft. He might as well have joined the local coven. He might as well sacrificed to Baal. Rebellion against the word of God. Closing the door on anything the Lord Jesus teaches is rebellion, and it is as witchcraft, and that person will be judged along with the witches and the warlocks and the sorcerers. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness, as we see in Jonah's life, is as iniquity and idolatry. Well, this should frighten the church. It should instill in us the fear of God, which many churches, many Christians have lost, that holy fear of God. That if I close my door of my heart to anything God commands me, I am no better than a witch or a sorcerer or an idolater. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected thee from being king. So Jonah was being swallowed up by his own transgression. He was being digested there by his own rebellion. And I want you to remember this. I've said it before. There are only two ways out of that whale's stomach. Only two ways. Out the back, where you become food for the shrimp and the fish, or out the front, where you can again walk in the light of the day. Only two ways out, friends. Because Jesus said there are only two roads. The broad road is one of rebellion. It is the road of the witchcraft and idolatry and lukewarmness. That is the road that leads to destruction. The broad road. The broad way. Don't give your regards to Broadway. Okay? Give your regards to the narrow way. And follow that. Right? For that leads to life eternal. The words of a wise man's mouth, says Solomon, are gracious. But the lips of a fool will swallow himself up. Swallow up himself. And Jonah was acting like a fool. His own lips, his own mouth swallowed him up when he said, "I want one ticket to Tarshish, please." Those are the words of a fool. But gracious words would be, "Lord, you speak to me. I hear. I obey. I will go where you send me. I will be what you want me to be." Saul was rejected from being king. Jonah was in the belly of the whale being rejected by God or corrected by God. That's the choice. You are either being corrected by God or rejected by God when you have been swallowed up in the belly of the whale, in the belly of trouble, in the belly of tribulation. You're either being rejected or corrected. The choice is yours. The choice was Jonah's. Jonah chose wisely. I said, "I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. And thou heard my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, and in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and thy billows and thy waves passed over me." And that's something that when Jonah heard the voice of God, he closed the door and sailed away. When God Almighty heard the voice of Jonah, he opened the door and delivered him. Because God is the only one who can deliver. God is merciful even to those like Jonah. To those like David who committed adultery and murder. For those like Moses who struck the rock not once but twice. What happened? Water gushed from the rock. Even though he disobeyed the Lord was merciful. I cried by reason of my affliction, out of the belly of hell. You know, when God corrects us, it can be hell. It can be a living hell. But it's meant to lead us to heaven. And God may put us through hell in order to have us escape hell. And that's what he was doing for Jonah. Out of the belly of hell, I cried. Troubled waters, friends, can be healing waters. Troubled waters can be healing waters. The trouble we have in life, the correction that God brings to us, the pain in our bones. As David said, "My bones roared all day because I tried to hide my sin." Those troubled waters can be healing waters, as they were for Jonah. In that dark place where he was, there was not a speck of light. Every time the fish or whale opened its mouth, more water would come in, more seaweed would come in, wrap around him. And he'd be jostled from side to side. What a horrible experience. But that's like the lukewarm. They have no stability in their life. They're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Like little children can be tossed back and forth. Then I said, "I am cast out of thy sight." So he thought. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compass me about, even to the soul, not just up to his shoulders or neck, but in his soul. And that's where God wanted the waters to go. That's where God wants his tribulation that he sends you and he sends me. That's where he wants it to go, to our soul, to our hearts. He's not after our bodies. First our soul, then our bodies. The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Jonah thought he was lost. Jonah believed there was no hope. He thought he was cast out of the sight of God. As David prayed, Lord, cast me not away from thy presence. You know, that's what hell is. The Apostle Paul wrote that hell is being cast out of the presence of God. For in the presence of God is fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there's life eternal. So when David prayed, Lord, cast me not away from your presence, he was saying, Lord, don't let me perish. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Jonah said, I have no hope of ever escaping, but still I will pray. Isn't it true that some temptations, those besetting sins, those great fears and worries are so wrapped around us as the seaweed was around Jonah, that we're encased in bars, a prison, and we think there's no escape? But yet we must keep crying out. We must cry out as Jonah did. He didn't have much faith, but what little faith he had, he cried out, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. You know what he was saying? Even if I die in this slimy hell hold, even I have to be digested and thrown out the back and become fish food, you have brought up my life from destruction. Now he's filled with faith and joy. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, unto thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. What do you mean by that? That ocean, that sea in which Jonah was treading water, was to be a reminder of him, of the ocean of mercy that God has for those who trust him. Though Jonah's sin abounded, God's grace did much more abound towards him. That storm was God's grace. Treading water was God's grace. Being swallowed by the fish was God's grace. Being digested was God's grace. Being drawn to the bottom of the mountains by that great fish was God's grace. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. They forsake the ocean of grace that has their name on it. Their name, your name, is on that ocean of mercy. But if we observe a lying vanity, an empty lie, as Jonah did, and what lie did he observe? The one most people observe, the one that Eve observed. I can get away with this. God is gracious. That's what he said. Lord, I fled to Tarshish because I knew thou art a gracious God. Well, where did that get you, Jonah in the belly of the whale, with your skin being bleached, your hair falling out, your skin peeling off. That's where it got you. That's the lying vanity that Jonah observed. As the serpent said to Eve, you will not die. God just created you. He loves you. He shed his mercy upon you. You're in this beautiful garden. God will not let you die. And surely the moment they touched that fruit, they died. There are many in churches today that believe they can live in willful sin and get away with it. They can still close their heart's door to the commands of God and live. But God says, I'll show you differently. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. The mercy that God has for you is shut away. You see, when we shut our heart to the commandments, be holy for I am holy, or love one another as I have loved you, or be content with such things as you have and where you are, to give thanks in all things and for all things, when we shut our heart's door on that, we are shutting our heart's door, our life, on the ocean of mercy that's there for us. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee. I, who shut up that ocean of mercy, will now break the dam. I will open the door of my heart, and God will flood me with his joy. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. How many could give thanks in such a dark prison as that? Jonah could. But there are many who are in no such poor condition as Jonah, and they cannot give thanks. I will sacrifice with the voice of thanksgiving. And so in that dark, slimy pit, in that hell on earth, he was praising God, thanking God. And that's what God wanted from him. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Job said. The Lord gave me a commission, said Jonah. He gave me health. He took it away from me. But I will praise him. Not realizing that God was going to reinstate him in that commission. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. How Jonah thought he could give God what he promised, he didn't know. But he said, Lord, here in this dark dungeon, I rededicate my life to you. I promised you my service, my love. I'm going to give it to you right here. And only then could he sing and praise God, as Paul and Silas did in the prison. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises to God. At midnight, in chains, in stocks, badly beaten, they praise God. That's the way the Christian's supposed to be. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I can't save myself. I can't get out of this mess. But there's one who can deliver me. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Not always does God give a second chance to people. There have been people who've heard the word of God and been struck down, like Ananias and Sapphira. They weren't given another opportunity to repent. Jonah was. So have many of us. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Not what you think is best, but what I tell you to preach, which was repentance of sin. I think it was Matthew Henry, the great theologian, commentator, and preacher, who said, if I were to preach one last sermon, it would be repent. I preach repentance of sin. And that's what Jonah preached. That's all he preached. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. He was given another opportunity, and so are we. If there's anyone here today that has closed their heart's door on anything God commands, know this. You're going to be in the belly of the whale for some time. Until you cry out to him. Not just to get out. We never hear of Jonah praying, Lord, get me out of here. Didn't pray that. He began to thank God for where he was. Began to praise God for where he was. Willing to die there. But he was going to give God back his life. So if there's anyone here that has closed their hearts toward anything Christ teaches, you have closed the door on an ocean of mercy. And you'll begin slowly to disintegrate, as Jonah was in the process of. May that not be our case. God would rather have us hot or cold, but not lukewarm. As putrid as Jonah must have looked after 3 days, that's how putrid God sees the lukewarm, that he must vomit them forth. They are putrid in his sight. The chief of sinners is not as disgusting as a lukewarm believer. So let us be set on fire for him. Let us go home today and pray for those revival fires to start with us. For while we are still in this body, writes the Apostle Paul, we groan, being burdened. Not that we should be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Jonah was being swallowed by death. The wages of sin is death. The wages of disobedience is death. The wages of closing our heart's door to anything God teaches us is death. It's not life. Don't believe that lie. Those who believe such lying vanities forsake the mercy that has their name on it. It's yours, but you cannot observe the lying vanities. The mortal being swallowed up by life. And that's what Jonah found. As he cried out to the Lord in repentance, as he cried out, repaying God what he owed God, his life, as he gave God thanks for that dark place, he was swallowed up in life now. That prison cell was filled with heavenly lights. His soul was filled with the light of Christ. He who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. The Apostle Paul said, through Christ, death is swallowed up in victory. But if we shut the door on his voice, all our victories will be swallowed up by death. And so Jonah is an example of a believer, a strong believer, a mighty prophet of God, who shut his ears to the voice of God, began to die. But when he opened that heart's door again, the Lord was knocking. He knocked with the great wind. He knocked with the great fish. He knocked with the seaweed wrapped around his head. He knocked. He knocked and knocked. Jonah, will you open? And he did. So can we. Under the influence of God's Holy Spirit, as he knocks, we can say, yes, Lord, come in. And those commands which I found wearisome and too difficult and beyond my scope of imagination, all those doctrines and teachings that I have shut the door on, Lord, make me love them. Make me want them. Flood me with life. We're going to sing a song in closing and then take the Lord's Supper. You can shut off the screen, the projector. I'd like us to stand. Have you any room for Jesus? Number 478. Room for pleasure, room for business. But for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Remember, Revelation 3:20 is the door of the church who had shut him out. The door of the believer. The church is not a building, it's the believers. So with the believers in Laodicea that shut him out. Let us open the door to his word. Have you any room for Jesus? 478. Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Room for pleasure, room for business. But for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Room and time now give to Jesus. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon your heart left cold and silent, and your Savior's pleading cease. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word obey. Swing your heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while. And the longer that door remains shut, the more the hinges will rust and corrode, and the weeds will grow in front of that door. The more difficult will be to open it. It's called the hardening of the heart. Harden not your hearts, departing from the living God. God is alive. And Jonah found out just how living God was. But he found out in a difficult manner. And maybe we'll find out in a difficult manner, but as long as we find out, that God is no respecter of persons. And that the soul that sins, it will die. And the wages of that sin are death. The gift of God is eternal life. But what do you do with that gift? The Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you any room for Jesus? If President Trump's limousine broke down in front of your apartment or house, a cold winter night, raining, snowing, whatever, and he knocks on your door and says, please, you have a place for me to stay? Well, I'm a Democrat, President Trump. I wouldn't say that, but some might. But of course, even though I didn't vote for you and I can't stand you, you're out here. Some would say, stay where you are, but most of us would say, come on in. I have a nice broom closet for you. Well, how about in the attic? It's not finished, but I got a place there for you. I'll give you a pillow and a blanket. You can lay on the floor. No, that's not what we do. We give him the run of the house, the best room. I would do that even if President Obama knocked on my door. I wouldn't put him in the broom closet. Wouldn't stick him in the moldy basement. Here you have my room. Here's the keys to my house. Why? Because the Bible says we should have that love. How much more? When the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says, let me in, we stick him in a broom closet. He eats at the kitchen table. We dine in the living room. No. He wants full reign of our lives. Let's give that to him. He's knocking. Let's pray. Father, we're about to remember your great love in giving your son. And Jesus, we're going to remember now your great sacrifice for us unworthy sinners. Lord, may we, if we are in a dark place, like Jonah was, because of our sin, the rebellion, which is like witchcraft, Lord, as detestable as witchcraft is to you, yet you will cleanse us of that rebellion. You can change our hearts if we seek a new heart. If we cry out for that another opportunity to live for you. Even if we have to die in a disgraceful way as Jonah was about to die, yet we can know that you have saved our souls. That we are your children, that we walk by faith, not by sight. That we will pay again that which we have vowed to you. That which we owe you. For we are not our own, we've been bought with a price. Or maybe there are some here who are learning that the hard way. And maybe tomorrow we'll learn it the hard way. But it must be learned. You teach, we have to learn. And those troubled waters can be healing waters, as they were to Jonah. We thank you, Lord, that you send the wind, you send the beasts towards us, you send the enemy, you allow the tempter to attack us, you allow our bodies to become frail and decrepit, so that we might learn we have no one on heaven or on earth but thee. No one but thee. And we owe you all. And as we commune with your blood and with your flesh, and again, these words are spirit. The flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that quickens. And these words I speak unto you, said Jesus, they are spirit and they are life. Well, Lord, we want to hear your words and live, not hear your words and die. So we open the door. By your grace, we can. By your grace, we can. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated and we'll remember the Lord's suffering. And I trust that as we do, you will not keep the door shut on anything that Christ has taught us. We'll embrace it, love it, follow it. Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. He passed it among his disciples. Is this not communion of the body of Christ, said the apostle? Is this not communion of the blood of Christ? Communion, communication. God is communicating to us. And we have to communicate back to him. But what are we communicating? Lord, I want you to rule, but not in this area of my life. I want you to be my king, but not in this area. Is that what we're communicating? I trust not. I trust we're communicating what he communicated to us. I gave you my all. Please give me your all. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In communion with his flesh. In the same manner, he took the cup, passed it among his disciples. Yes, after the same manner also Jesus took the cup and said, "Take, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Drink in remembrance of him. Be dismissed now in prayer. Thank you. Lord, our remembrance of you should be so profound, so sweet, so powerful, that we, like the man who found the treasure in the field, give up everything to possess it. Or like the merchant who found the pearl of great price, he was so thrilled, so excited, so enthralled, so blessed by it, he gave up everything to possess that pearl. Jesus, you are that pearl, great price. You are the treasure that is beyond any other treasure. And how excited we should be to follow you, to do your will. Lord, quicken us by your Spirit, by your word today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.